Holy Spirit, we just invite you in right now. We say, Holy Spirit, come. We call our spirits to attention, to listen to you, to hear from you, to be ministered to by you, because we love you and we welcome you here. Amen. So living in the fruit of the Spirit, and that verse stays on screen because it's just the easiest way for me to keep repeating a PowerPoint. It's just because that's what God's purpose is for you, that you be in good health and prosper as your soul prospers. The last time when I was speaking, I talked about us actually learning to listen to God rather than listen to the world, learning to get ourselves to be obedient and be in agreement with God rather than being lied to by the enemy. I don't know if you remember that, but we'll touch on that a little bit perhaps as we go forward. But today I want to say, well, okay, there's another step we can move on. We can move on living in the fruit of the Spirit. So what is it? Yay. So being blessed is being fruitful. It's fun, actually. Yesterday I was writing my sermon, sitting on the settee, and I could see some Jehovah's Witnesses coming down the street, and then the doorbell rang, and I thought, I really haven't got time for this right now. But they seemed fairly persistent and stood at the door, so I thought, I'll go and answer them. I said, I'm sorry, I haven't got a lot of time to talk to you because I'm quite busy, I'm just writing a sermon for tomorrow. And she said, do you know what happiness is really all about? I said, absolutely, it's being in love with Jesus Christ and knowing his saving power in life. I thought, I'll get the message in. And she went, oh, that's good. She says, can I bless you with a Bible verse? And this is the verse she opened at. And this is, I'd already written this in my notes. And I said, do you realize I've just written that down in my sermon notes for tomorrow? She goes, that's amazing. I said, yeah, that's my God. And like that, they left. How blessed is the man, this is Psalm 1, who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. And in that sense, this is where we're not being in agreement with the world, but we're actually coming into agreement with God. Nor stand in the path of sinners or sit in the seat of scoffers. We're careful with our words. We actually don't get into agreement where we start to criticize and pull down other people in the world. But his delight, that's you, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. I don't know if that's how it is for you, that night and day you think on the word of God and you think about what he says about you and you think about that verse that you prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers. And think about all the things he says about being generous and kind and so on. But it says here, he meditates on it day and night. He'll be like a tree. This is what you're going to be like. Like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields fruit in its season. And its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. So there's it links again back to that verse. Would you like to be firmly planted and rooted and always have a life source flowing to you that means you're always fruitful? Sounds pretty good, I think so. Well, it's then living in the goodness of God, living in his presence, actually thinking about him day and night, actually allowing his spirit to communicate with us. And when we talk about prospering, it isn't just about money, it's about our well-being, it's about who we are inside, it's about having an attitude that actually thinks of our well-being, thinks that we are blessed, actually believes that God wants to bless us. And sometimes that is in finances. And it's in health. And it's in peace. And it's in goodness. It's all these things that rest in our lives. In Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls. I like that. But there's the fruit is this tree of life, and here it is. It's a tree of life planted by a stream. It's what we become when we live a life belonging to God. And I think that's rather nice that it says, and there's an outcome in Proverbs, that souls get saved, which is pretty cool. It's in your nature to bear good fruit. It's in your nature to bear good fruit. So in Matthew 7:17 it says, so every tree, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. It's fairly straightforward, isn't it? What kind of tree are we? A good tree bears good fruit. A bad tree bears bad fruit. I remember years ago in YWAM, lovely, lovely Bible teacher Gordon Olson, he stood at the front and he said, what happens when a good tree yields bad fruit? And we're all sitting there really perplexed. And he says, then it's a bad tree. It's just very simple. It's a good tree or it's a bad tree. If there's good fruit, it's a good tree. And if you are planted firmly by a stream, a tree planted by God, you are a... Oh, a few of you think you're a good tree. Good. You're a good tree. Which means then the fruit that comes for your life is good. Which is kind of cool when we read the next bit. Because when we've given our lives to Jesus and his life is within us, we become his body. What we produce must be good. You get that? If you're living in Jesus, what comes out of your life is good. Because that's his nature. And you start thinking now about what's happened to me last week and all that, thinking, oh dear, where am I? Your nature. I'm not saying everything you do every day happens to come out of your best choices in your nature. But your nature is no longer to sin. Your nature is to bear good fruit. Because you've been changed. You're a new creation. If I plant an acorn in the ground, what do I get? Sorry? Somebody said something else? A squirrel, yeah, okay. If I plant an oak tree in the ground, I get an oak forest. What will the oak tree produce? More acorns. What's in an acorn? Another oak tree. How many acorns do you get off an oak tree? Thousands. Thousands. Last year, we got two oaks next to our house, and actually some guys came along from some forestry commission to collect the acorns next to our house, because they were literally piled high on the grass. And I said, you can go up, if you want, I'll go up on the flat roof and brush them off. He says, no, leave the squirrels a few. Because our flat roof was literally all acorns. You could not see the roof for acorns. So one acorn in the ground produces an oak tree that produces, over its life, probably hundreds of thousands of acorns. And those acorns, when they get spread around by the squirrels and by the birds, produce more oak trees that produce more. So actually, if I put an acorn in the ground, give it long enough, I'll get a forest. And all the wildlife that goes in it. It's pretty cool, isn't it? Jesus puts his seed in us. What do we expect to get? Oh, I'll be a bit blessed. Or are you believing for a forest? People touched by God. When you start bearing good fruit, there is a promise that comes from Jesus. And here it is in John 15. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and this is where we have Ed back with us if we could, and he could tell us about pruning right now. But he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it. Oh, hang on a minute. Every branch that doesn't bear fruit, he takes it away. And then the ones that bear fruit, he prunes it. Oh, how? I thought you just leave it. Leave it, surely. Leave it alone, because it's bearing fruit. You don't want to cut it, do you? Because it's bearing fruit. Dave could tell us as well. What happens if we leave a vine growing? Produce fruit. And eventually it becomes dead at the end, because it overextends and it becomes dead. So you cut it back and it produces more fruit. Ah. So are you producing some fruit? Then expect God to come and prune. Ow. Let me give you an example, and I touched on it in my last sermon. Remember, the disciples had been sent out by Jesus, and they went out and he said, go into the villages, go back to your village, go to the villages and go out two by two and don't take anything with you. And go and heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. And they came back going, yeah, this was amazing. This was fantastic. We saw all this stuff. And so they started talking about, wow, Jesus, I think I'm just better than the rest and I deserve a really good place. And they started talking about who was the greatest, who had the best mission. So Jesus, they were bearing fruit. Jesus needed to prune, correct their thinking, and say, actually, you want to know who's greatest in the kingdom? Look at this child. The greatest is the one who serves. The greatest is the one who is the most humble. The greatest is the one who believes things. Remember as well, they went past one village that didn't want anything to do with Jesus, and they said, shall we call fire from heaven? And he said, you don't know what spirit you're of, prune. So Jesus comes along, God in the Holy Spirit comes along when we start to be fruitful, and he helps us to adjust our thinking, to keep us walking in humility and to keep us in a place where we will bear more fruit. You're with that. So sometimes there are challenges around us and things that come around us, and God will use that to help to prune us so we stay walking close to him, so we stay in humility, so we stay in a place where he can keep pouring out the blessing. Because the moment you start to think, look at the fruit I'm getting from my life, aren't I good? What do you guys think you're going to get? Snip. It's going to get pruned a little bit to just help you adjust your thinking. But why? So you can bear more fruit. Not so you bear less, so you can bear more. I think that's awesome. That we bear fruit, and even if we then get our attitudes a little wrong, he just comes along and gives us a gentle adjustment. What? So he takes our fruit away? No. So we bear more fruit. So there it is. Now it's interesting that he says this as we come to the last part of that little section of scripture. You're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. We were just singing abide in me, weren't we? That wasn't planned, was it? Well, it was, but not. And in you. And the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. It's interesting he says you're already clean because of the... Where did that come in? We're talking about bearing fruit. And in the middle of that he says you're already clean because of what? The word that I've spoken to you. So God's word coming into your heart, God's word coming to you in the time of fruitfulness, actually keeps you clean. It's his word that adjusts your thinking. It's his word that helps you to stay walking right. It's his word over you that speaks righteousness and actually enables you to walk right. And it all depends on what? Abiding. Because if the branch is taken away from the tree or the vine, what's going to happen to it? It'll just die. So we've got to be close. We've got to stay linked in to Jesus through the power of the Spirit. John 15 verse 8, just a few verses later, says, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. You want to give God worship? You want to bless him? Then bear fruit. Bear fruit in your life. It's not enough to just sit around and think, well, God will just bless me and I'll sit on my sofa and feel blessed and fat and satisfied. And a few verses later, verse 16 of the same chapter, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, that your fruit would remain, comma, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give to you. I haven't got time to preach on that one, but that's a promise. If you're abiding in him, if you're letting his word keep you clean and moving in the right place, if you are then bearing the fruit of righteousness and walking in him, he says, and then when you come to the Father and ask anything, he'll give it to you. But read that, there's some conditions on the before you ask the Father. It's all this stuff that goes before. So what is the fruit then? What's it about? We know this verse, or some of you should probably be able to rattle it off without even me quoting it. Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. How many fruit are there? But the fruit, doesn't say fruits, the fruit, how many fruits? One fruit that manifests in your life in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And remember, self-control is your ability to choose what's right. We spend too much time thinking about trying to not do stuff. How about choosing what's right? The fruit. This is a big deal. Because through our lives we can say, we said this, we're really manifesting patience. Why? Because that's just the kind of people we are. It's not anything to do with the Holy Spirit. We're just easygoing kind of people. So for us to manifest patience and kindness, it's just kind of who we are. We could do that without the Holy Spirit. But can I be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? It's a bit more of a challenge. Now I need help. And to manifest all of that, it's because the Holy Spirit is living in me, showing the life and the character of Jesus through my life. We can't pick and choose which fruit we want to play around with, which part of the fruit. It's the fruit. It's the fruit. And it manifests the character of God, the character of Jesus in our life, which is all of this. And I think sometimes we think, well, I'll concentrate on that bit because I can excel in that bit. But perhaps you can excel in that bit because you don't need Holy Spirit's help. Maybe you should concentrate on the bit that's a bit harder to do. In Ephesians, formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. You were formerly in the darkness. When was formerly? Before. Before what? Before meeting Jesus and engaging him. So it's in the past. Okay. The past does not belong to you. The past does not belong to you. Jesus paid to redeem it. Okay. I need to think on that one a bit. We spend too much of our lives living in regret and sadness and hurts over our past when Jesus paid for it on the cross. And if we come to him and accept and receive his crucifixion of our lives with him, we were nailed with him to the cross, we then receive his resurrection and that past is left behind. That's why we baptize people, because it's a picture of being buried and being raised in Christ. Formerly you were of darkness, but now you are children of the light. So walk that way. Bear fruit. Bear fruit. It's a very positive thing that we should be bearing fruit and not living, spending our time living in regret. Incidentally, as we're away at the church weekend, next weekend, we'll try and put something on about this, but Ginla and I are more than willing, we won't have time to do a lot, but to offer Sozo sessions to a couple of folks in the afternoon, which is a way of getting free from some things in our past, a way of getting free from lies and things in the past, and the people in the room are walking in freedom from stuff that used to hold them down, because Jesus walks in the room. In a Sozo session, Jesus and the Holy Spirit walk into the room. That's all. We just invite him to come and he just comes and ministers. And that's what a sozo is. It's allowing Holy Spirit and Jesus to speak to you and minister to you. So if you want to avail yourself of that next weekend, come and see us next weekend. But we're meant to walk in fruit. We're meant to walk looking forward. We're meant to see what our destiny in God is. The fruit is for the world. This is the end of the book, end of the Bible, pretty much here. Did you ever get that far? Anybody ever get that far? The end of Revelation? Or did you give up before you get that far? Well, you're lost in all the weird stuff. You know, Ezekiel's a bit like this as well. Ezekiel and Revelation have a lot of similarities. And actually, there's a lot of it, because if we turn to Ezekiel 47 right now, we'd find something very similar to what's being spoken of here. Amazingly. So they're both weird books, and they both have this in them. It's worth ploughing through sometimes, this stuff that's hard to read. Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, that's interesting, a river has a street, doesn't it? On either side of the river, there was a tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. And if you go into the Ezekiel, and that Ezekiel 47 one is just a huge deal for me over the last year, actually knowing that you can live in that river, knowing that you can actually be in that flow. And in the Ezekiel, it talks about the trees on the banks of the river bearing fruit, being in blossom and being in leaf all the time. That every tree has blossom and fruit and everything on it all at the same time. That's fruitful. That's fruitful. That's fruitful. Being fruitful, I can't remember which of the minor prophecies, but there's a season in the end times where it says, and the reaper will overtake the sower because it's so fruitful. There'll be so much fruit coming up that the harvest is just so vast you'll overtake the one sowing. It's just like, wow. But yielding fruit every month. Dave knows about trees. How many trees bear fruit every month, Dave? I don't know of any. I can't think of any. I can't think of any trees that bear fruit every month. My dad used to have an apple tree in his garden. And I remember we pruned it a few years ago before he passed away, because it was all over the place and growing over next door. And there were just apples all over the ground, and just, you know, everybody giving apples away. And Rebecca, who lives up the road from us, comes with armfuls of apples. But that only happens in late summer, autumn, when they're ripe. It's not every month. But here is the picture, that there is a river of life that flows from the throne of God, carrying the very presence and heart and spirit of God, and we can live in that river. Isn't it interesting? The trees have only got their toes in the river. We had a walk around Buckham Park last night, and there's some trees that have flopped right into the water, and others, they've got gangly looking roots trailing over all kinds of things and into the lakes and into the water. And they grow because they can access that water. So it doesn't matter whether you're falling into the water like we saw some of the trees yesterday, or you've just got your toes in the water, you'll still live and bear fruit. Every month. Now, what's the fruit for? It says the leaves, actually, interesting, are for the healing of the nations. But you can look at me and say, oh, well, the nations don't need any healing right now, do they? I'm being sarcastic. It's painful, isn't it, watching stuff right now. Seeing innocent children, hungry, starving people, suffering because the nations need healing. Where's the healing coming from? Those who live in the river of life. That's you and me. It's you and me. So the fruit that comes from your life, which is all of this stuff of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, is meant to be shown in such a way that your life can change the course of the nations. It's a big deal, isn't it? I'm only just saying what it says in the Bible. We mix with people who believe that as we move around with harvest evangelism and the stuff around the world that's going on. We move with people that believe that. We change nations. couple of weeks ago we were popped over to see the team in Bristol, and I wasn't actually going to bother talking to the mayor because I just thought, well, we'll just go and do that. And he came over and talked to me. The mayor of Bristol came and asked me a bit, and I said, I've got this vision, Marvin, that city mayors who have authority, God wants to use them to change nations. Because city mayors like Marvin in Bristol have quite a lot of authority, and they have budget, and they can actually do stuff other politicians just can't do. He says his own party get really cross with him because he just does what he thinks is right to do, right? And he can achieve things, and Bristol is seeing great things happen because there's a godly man who wants to do it. And I said to him, well, Marvin, I believe God wants to change nations around the world through city mayors. He said, that's interesting, Ian, because in October I'm going to be hosting in Bristol the Parliament of mayors from all over the world. And they've asked him to chair that meeting. Yay, God. And we know mayors in other parts of the world, in Vallejo in California and in Paranac in the Philippines and other places, where they've dedicated their city to God, and God has moved and changed the city. In Rosario, in Argentina, others. And we know. These are people we know. We'll meet up with them in late September when we go to California. We'll get big hugs of them, just if you've seen them last week. And they're just ordinary people, like you and me. They're not super saints. They haven't even been trained in Bible college. Or been in YWAM, or anything. They're just people who saw their city and said, I want to see something different. Taxi driver. The guy in Rosario. Taxi driver. He's awesome. He's just this ordinary guy, a taxi driver. But they've seen change in Rosario. It is unbelievable. A city that was run by drug barons. Poverty was horrendous. There was no hospital. No college. Hardly any schools. Poverty. Over 50% of the people were unemployed. Get the picture of a city. A taxi driver with the Holy Spirit says this can change. Today, it's one of the wealthiest cities in Argentina. It's one of the hottest tourist spots in Argentina. We're talking about 15 years or something. There's no unemployment to speak of. There's roads, there's hospitals, there's community centres. Because a taxi driver believed God that his life could bear fruit that would heal the nation. What's God calling you to do? What you carry overcomes. The fruit of the Holy Spirit in you means you can overcome. I can't remember his name, the taxi driver. It'll come to me afterwards, but I can't remember his name. I'm sure he would have felt overwhelmed looking at his town of Rosario, run by drug barons, gangs. What are we thinking about London right now? Gangs. Violent people. He's just a taxi driver. He prays and believes God. And the army come in and cleared out all the drug gangs. Just because he asked them to. Argentina's a bit different to us, but changed. John 16. So it's the end of Jesus' life, just before the cross, and he's talking to the disciples. It's one of the most important discourses in the whole of the Bible, John 14 through 17. For me, it's my favourite piece of scripture ever. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. Oh, that's good, isn't it? We'll take that one. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. Romans 12. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Ooh, that sounds better. What's good? The fruit of the Spirit sounds good to me. 1 John 4. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You really need to have that picture. We were praying on Friday, and God brought us back to that picture again, thinking, how could just the two of us, being in agreement, praying in our our bedroom praying over Syria change the spiritual atmosphere around Syria? And God says, because you've got more on your side. There are more angels, more spiritual forces on our side. Wow. You're here to make a difference. You're here to change the atmosphere. Do you think that the fruit of the Spirit in your life sets a different feeling and a different standard to what we mostly meet in the world? I'm not saying there aren't good and kind people in the world. That would be unfair. But generally, if you are facing kids in the drug gangs in London, what's taking their hearts? What's actually coming in there? Fear? Big deal. What about the God of peace comes in to where there's fear? What about we even put some joy in instead of fear and anxiety? That's what's in you. It's what's in you. You can go and carry it into those places and see it change. That's what street pastors do. They go and carry a different spirit into a place where there's a different spirit at work. And they bring the Spirit of God into that place and shift the atmosphere, albeit for a moment in time, but they shift the atmosphere. And the more we do that, and when we prayer walk, and interestingly, on Monday night, whether the weather's good or not, but we meet for prayer here, and it is because now it's the third one, we should be getting the Anglicans and Catholics and Warriors of Praise come and join us, because we want to walk, pray and prayer walk the neighbourhood and shift the atmosphere over our neighbourhood. Would you like there to be love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness and kindness and self-control to be the prevailing spirit over this neighbourhood? Well, that's what's in you. How about take it on the street? How about just believe that as you walk and be you, that starts to change the atmosphere around the neighbourhood? So if you want to come, come along. I don't mind how many are there or not there. It only takes two to put 10,000 to flight. We've only got 13,000 people in the neighbourhood, so it's pretty easy. We should crack this easy. We need to take authority in the name of Jesus over anything that doesn't line up with kingdom life and kingdom values. So when we feel and sense things that don't line up with that goodness, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, we need to take control and shift it. Break agreement with it. Don't let it come and touch your life. Don't start agreeing with anger and anxiety and frustration. Just don't partner with it. Just say, no, my life is this, because that's what the Holy Spirit is in me. And your little center point of action and agreement with the Holy Spirit starts to radiate out. It shines because it's a light. We talked about light in one of the other scriptures. This is the light that comes. And you shine. You don't reflect, you shine. You don't reflect God, you shine because he's in you. And when you shine, you'll shift the atmosphere and we'll start to shake the principalities and powers over this neighbourhood. And when we come together in unity, which is really exciting that the churches want to do this together, it is such a powerful anointing in prayer. I can tell you the demonic hosts don't like this idea at all. They will do what they can to discourage people from being there. And even if you can't be there, try and remember it and pray and uphold it and join it in that way. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith, 1 John 5:4 instead of 4:4. Do we believe God that he can? Well, no. Do we believe God that he wants it to be different than it is? Do we believe that God wants peace in Syria? Yeah, it's in his heart, isn't it? It's his nature, what Jesus died for this. So if that's what is in the heart of God, and I actually turn and face him and in humility come to him and say, I agree with you. My light just got brighter. My light just tuned in to the heart of God, and you just turned up the wick and it started to shine. And then if I stand with somebody and agree, yay, whoa, this is not a wick being turned up anymore. This is like an off, I'm just kaboom, blast, light penetrates the heavens. Because we are meant to manifest in the heavenly places the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God is that he brings peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Will you live in the fruit of the Spirit? Will you determine that when you see sadness, brokenness and stuff around you, you'll say, yeah, that is sad, and God, you want to change it. You love this more than I do. You care about this more than I do. You died to make this right. So I'm going to choose to believe you, that this can be different. And the enemy's going, you can't do anything, you're just puny. You go, yeah, no, puny me, isn't it awesome? Because God uses the puny things to confound the wise. Just bounce back with the truth. Just bounce back with the truth. You are mighty. You are mighty. You don't just have the power of God living in you. If that wasn't enough, just grasp that for a minute. God, who is outside, if it's possible, I don't know, of the universe, that the scientists still figuring out, they can't really measure it because it's so vast, we couldn't count the stars of heaven because they're just into billions of universes, and it's expanding still, and it's vast beyond measure. God, who holds that together with a word, he calls the stars by name. Ha ha! That'll take a while. Stand on the beach, if we go back to Sweden, stand and count the stars. You get pretty fed up after a few minutes trying to count the stars. He calls them by name. He holds it together by the word of his power. He's the God that says, we do this together. You and me, son. Let's do this. I'm going to come and live in you. I'm going to give you my spirit. I'm going to impart who I am to you so that we can change this. I had one of those moments where, dream, vision, or what, who cares, where he grabbed me and he said that I just want to take you for a moment outside of time. And it's kind of whoosh, suck. And I looked back and saw this little round, looked like a marble, that big. I said, what's that, Lord? He said, that's the universe. Okay. That's God. Put it in perspective. Know who's on your side. Only 1/3 of the angels fell with Satan. They're outnumbered. Who's with you? Angelic hosts. But they're there. Sometimes they might come and show up and startle you a bit. These, but he's talking about us, will wage war, oh, the enemy, will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them because he's Lord of Lords and King of Kings. All hail the Lamb. All hail King Jesus. All hail the Lord of heaven and earth. Ooh, gives me goosebumps. And those who are with him are called the chosen and faithful. That's Revelation 17. That's us, that's you. War is being waged against us, but he is the King and the Lord. Romans 8:37. In all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Will you take the fruit of the Spirit and believe? That isn't just to make you feel good or just to help you get through tomorrow. It's here because you're meant to heal the nations. It can start in your house, in the neighborhood, in your street, in Broadfield. But if we don't have a vision that it's to shift and to change the nations, we're going to struggle to believe it's going to change our home. Isn't that amazing? We think we can work it out at home first, then I can believe for the street, after the street. But God says, no, I want you to believe for the nations, and I'll deal with your street or your home or your family. He says, let me watch over what you care about if you will watch over what I care about. He cares about the nations being healed. Will you join him? Will you give your heart to him and say, yes, God, and become a prayer warrior, become someone who contends in your everyday life to let the fruit of God in you come alive, set you on fire, and you burn for him. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You came to make your dwelling place with us. Not just so we could feel good, but so your glory would be seen on the earth. That the knowledge of the glory of God would cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. That there's healing for the nations. That, Jesus, you are the desire of the nations. They want the Prince of Peace to walk into their governments, into their streets, into their households, into their situations. And we say, come, come, Jesus, come, come in through your church. Let your church rise with passion and fire and love for you to live the life that you've called us to let you be who you are in and through us, to let your resurrection DNA set us on fire for you. We want to say yes, Jesus. We want to say yes. Come, Holy Spirit, seal that word for us. In Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.